Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
No, Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week, we will review The Prowler.
The Prowler. I don't know why I said it like that. Hello, everyone. We're going to review The Prowler.
As always, well, he was German. He wasn't supposed to be a German outfitted person. Anyways, as always, John will give us the plot in five words, and then we'll give our first thoughts, and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we are going to talk about something different. We're not doing a short horror film. We're doing what I'm calling Retro TV Corner. See what I did there?
Yeah.
We're going to review Starsky and Hutch, The Vampire, season 2, episode 7, which was brought to my attention because I was...
Arguable.
was it a vampire? I don't know.
No, I'm talking about episode 7. I don't know. Maybe it's episode 9.
That's...
Amazon's got some words for you.
So I watched a couple of episodes before I saw this one. By the way, I started Damn. One, and I'm like, you know, like I'm jamming out to the intro of the music. Oh, this fucking intro's badass. I like the, it's like the Beastie Boys Sabotage video. That's what it looked like. Yeah. I was like, this is fucking cool. And I get about halfway through one episode, I realize there's no vampires. There's no John Saxton. I'm like, fuck, I think I got the wrong episode. So I backed out. Yeah. I started what I thought was the... I thought I clicked on the episode. I saw the vampire. And I thought I clicked the one above it. So I was like, oh, okay, shit. I just clicked on the wrong one. So I thought I clicked again. And I started episode. I'm jamming out to the music. Beastie Boys, you know, Sabotage video montage. It was beautiful. And I get through the next half of the episode. And again, it was not the episode... It was not the right episode.
Oh, shit.
I got two episodes.
We had a similar experience.
And I was like, shit. And then finally, my third attempt, I was able to watch The Vampire, which I wanted to talk about because I was flipping through the Fangoria. And they did a pretty good little write-up about the article. And I thought, this is great. This is easy, right? Like, there's... We have yet on the Skeleton Boys, we have yet to talk about TV, and there's plenty of horror TV for decades now. So this is something that we're going to try.
Yeah.
Mix it up with our short films.
We both met because of theater, right?
So yeah.
The reality is if we're from theater, we should have a strong appreciation for this episode, right?
Sure. Yeah.
If we love theatrics.
Oh man, some of these other episodes.
Similar experience.
Yeah.
I watched half of one, and I think what happened? How do we end up talking about it again? Where I was like, dude, I was like watching half of an episode before I realized I wasn't watching the right one. Like, yeah. I think we had this conversation, right?
No, I don't. We haven't. We haven't talked about it.
I think you had sent me this as something we could watch.
Oh yeah,
before the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we had discussed. You had said like they probably took it off whatever we were supposed to watch it on.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. And I watched like half an episode of like some nurse who's obsessed with Starsky, or Hutch, or I don't know which one is which, honestly. And I was like, where the fuck is John Saxton? I did like a scrub through.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we're watching this in real time on television, like back in the day, it'd be like, wait, is this the right one? Fuck.
Yeah. So luckily when I started up The Vampire, John Saxton, I saw a video of a giant moon, Moody Music and John Saxton. I was like, okay, this is the right episode. I found the right episode. This is it. I love it. Okay. John, what did you think of The Vampire?
Well, what I think immediately is we have to GIF him holding the cape and running towards the camera in slow-mo.
That's
going to be awesome. our next thing for Halloween, saying coming into Halloween like, and it's just John Saxton with his fucking whose superpower had to have been paralyzing only women with such fear that they cannot walk away or they drop their keys 1,000 times, even though he's clearly 100 feet away.
Man, I just give credit to John Saxon. He's an actor's actor, man.
Dude, I think I'm embarrassed for him, but the reality is he probably read this and he was like, I get to be in Starsky and Hutch, and I finally get a role I can really sink my teeth into.
Yeah. And he was probably like, fuck it. You know, I'm going to just go for it. And he's excellent. He has so much like presence and like just has a dignifiedness to this character, like, which is like
hella buff for some reason, right? He's wearing that
super hella
shirt.
Buff and fucking tight ass turtleneck. It's fucking great
putting on that fucking persona, that accent, like, oh my girls, which one? Oh, like, I don't know if it's offensive or if that's how all ballet instructors are.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's how I would play it. Yeah.
I vaguely remember White Knights. And what's that guy's name? Fuck, I'm blanking. Like the most famous ballet dancer of the 80s. He was like a Russian guy, I think. A German guy, Russian guy. He also came out in Sex and the City.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. I can picture him, but I don't know his name offhand.
You remember that movie White Knights with Gregory
vaguely.
Hines?
Kind of. It sounds familiar.
Which Gregory Hines, I can't, like, what a phenomenal actor who was a dancer before. Like Christopher Walken also. Same thing. Dancer first. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't remember White Knights completely. But there were some other big actors in this. Well, notable actors. Suzanne Somers was in it.
Yeah.
And the guy from Police Academy.
Bailey.
Yeah.
G.W. Bailey, who was the theater instructor at, what do they call the San Marcos University now?
I don't know. I had a different name. I don't know. I'm not sure.
It used to be Southwest UT. No, wait. UT. Fuck, I'm blanking. I'm blanking on what I think it's called Texas State now.
Okay.
That university, you know what I'm talking about? Like just.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There's a jillion colleges named Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something.
If there's one thing Texas is proud of, it's Texas.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. GW Bailey.
One star.
Whose birthday is the day after mine.
Oh, dude.
Many years before.
GW Bailey was fucking awesome in this part, dude.
He was actor in this. Yeah. I meant to mention that.
He's like Marlon Branding it. Yeah, he was so good in it. He was like so grounded and like eating every line and shit. Like, he was so good in this. It's so strange. I grew up watching him in Police Academy, so that's the only thing I've ever known him for. So to see him in something like this was fucking like, oh man, it was so good. It was like, man, this guy can fucking act. He's a good actor. He's an excellent actor.
No, he's a phenomenal actor. And it's real funny that the guest actors on this episode are acting circles around the main cast, who are fucking awful, dude.
Oh yeah, they really are. Yeah. So my biggest thing is I feel like the scripts were written by like 16-year-olds. They have 16-year-old logic, right? Like, they don't really make, like, sense.
No, none of it kind of makes sense. Like, why would they go through the trouble of trying to find somebody that can jump high or far? Remember they got that weird guy, the older guy who I could only assume was a writer, producer's friend or something?
Yeah, one of the writers.
And he does, like, a slapstick thing where he's like, I'm going to do the jump, and Hutch or whichever one is like, all right, go ahead and do it. Jump over this chair. He's like, cool. And he's about to do it. And the commissioner, I guess. Is that what he is?
Sure, okay, they're bots. Slaps open
the door and like smacks him in the face before he can jump.
You're absolutely right. That was kind of a like really kind of dumb moment. But I kind of feel like it's interesting that they try to do really like slapsticky comedy, really kind of goofy like interactions with each other, but it's like a pretty deadly serious show. Like it tries to be grounded in a way like I don't know, what's a famous NYPD Blue? Some shit like that. Yeah. Like that was a deadly serious show, right? That was about fucking cops and shit. So I kind of feel like they try to do like the seriousness and then they try to like, I kind of like their little jokey interactions with each other, even though some of the humor was like, you know, dated and flat or whatever. But there's a, I kind of see the appeal, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being kind of forgiving about it, but I kind of see the appeal of like of a show like that, right? Like especially it's kind of funny, kind of like actiony.
You got David Guest, and it didn't matter if he couldn't really act because the guy they got playing opposite of him is way worse than he is.
Have you ever seen Starsky and Hutch before this or like?
Yeah, I mean a little bit growing up, but I wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna watch it. Like I did that to very few series after the fact. I think like in college, I revisited a few things like 21 Jump Street.
Okay, yeah.
And went through that for reasons, but it was still, you know, once you get into any of these series, they become more interesting. I'm just like, man, like. When the episode ended, it didn't end. Like, there was still, like, an epilogue. I was like, come on.
Yeah.
And then a really stupid one. And I was like, okay, this is that type of show. It's still a sitcom.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. They left, like, there was no resolution to too much in terms of, like, whether he was actually a vampire. I mean, for such a grounded show to tackle a vampire story, it was kind of like odd, right? Kind of just weird
to begin with. Because he's trying to bring his
wife. And they didn't really... Did he, though? There was maybe photos of him in a blood ritual.
He jumped across onto the top of a different building that was 25 feet away. He's aware of the Matrix?
He's aware of he can count feet in his head. Yeah. I don't know. Totally. There's just all these implausibilities, right, in the story. But it's a fun little thing. You know what I mean? I wouldn't give it too much credence to it. It was fun to revisit.
Okay, so I will say the. I don't even want to say gritty. I don't know what to say. The whole first like 35 to, I want to say like, yeah, like 35 minutes of the episode. There was like interesting parts to it, but a lot of it to me was kind of boring because a lot of the acting was like real blasé. And then the only times I was interested was when like G.W. Bailey was on or John Saxton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then that like that fight sequence in the theater,
that was a little crazy. Oh my God, right?
That fucking whole dance, like that ballet, vampire cape ballet, fucking John Saxon does.
Yeah, dude,
like, this is magical. This is a beautiful thing that everybody should be aware of. If John Saxon was still as popular as he was, this would be meme the shit out of. This would be all over the internet.
Yeah, no, totally. It's a little goofy, I guess, right? Like, that was a little bit weird. He was dancing by himself, right? It's just in his theater. That was, I forgot about that. True. That was fucking weird.
Like, okay, maybe this is supposed to be like a quote unquote little, like a pre-ritual before he like kills
the
victim for
he
reasons.
Goes hunting or whatever.
That are never explained.
Yeah. No, they never followed up with whether or not he was a vampire, whether he was like why he was, what he, whether or not he's able to resurrect his wife, why he had blood. There's a lot of questions. There's just a lot of like weird things they just left ambiguous.
Like, yeah, like were his teeth real or weren't they real? Like, I thought they were fake, but then they don't. There's no answer to that. And then he
no, there isn't.
He jumps, but like they have that whole theater fight where they're walking up, like climbing the ladder to the catwalk, which is absurdly high. And when he decides to just jump, he does his vampire jump with the cape, holding the cape in his hands like he's a bat. And the only thing that would have made that, like the little cherry on top, would have been a little splat sound effect. Because they look down and he's just like sprawled out like he went squash.
Yeah.
And then Hutch, I think, it's is like, well, you know one thing. That's or whatever. He's like, you almost made it. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess that was, that's their little zinger for this. That's cool. Yes. Well, you know, you almost made it.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't sound like Sylvester Stallone, but he gives me Sylvester Stallone vibes. I don't know. No, not David
Soul or whatever.
The other guy. Hutch. Yeah.
Darsky. Yeah. Oh man. What a fun little move. Fun little thing to watch and revisit. As difficult as it was to find and watch. Shit, yeah.
I could not get my... So I watch a lot of stuff on my old older Mac. And every once in a while, I watch stuff on my television where I have a Fire Stick. I could not transfer any of the shit on my Fire Stick to my Mac, which was very frustrating. I would have to go back. And my Fire Stick didn't want to register that I finally have Roku on there, the Roku app. So if anybody has trouble, just buy the episode.
I ended up watching it like on my phone through the Roku channel. Because I tried to like mirror it or like play it through one of my Apple TVs or whatever. But anytime the commercial would come up, it would just freeze. It would just freeze and just I couldn't get the episode playing. So I was like, fuck it, I'll just watch it on my phone. It's like, not. It's not really like cinematic in any way. It's no like... Well, with no reason to watch it, because besides, I think it was even shrunk. Like old, it was like the small, the
old Letterboxd, not Letterboxd. What's it called?
Really old. Yeah,
I forgot. Yeah, I forget. Had to learn all this fucking terminology.
Same.
Now we know nothing. next time we should just, you know, we're like, oh, you know, this thing is free on the Roku app. Okay, I'm just gonna buy a fucking Roku TV then, and then within a couple of years, we'll have like a TV for each of the services that make a smart TV.
No, dude, absolutely, yeah. Like it's out of control already. Like
what is that to watch thing anything from Batman? The thing that Bruce Wayne had Lucius Fox make, where he can tap into everything that has like.
Oh yeah. Might have to do with the water supply or something. It was like some like I don't know, man. There's a lot of negative geopolitical statements they were making of Batman. Don't talk enough about. Like, I don't want to get to it. Forget it. it's a big can of worms.
You
want
to hear a hot take real quick before I forget?
Sure. Hot take me.
My hot take. Hot takes by John Flowers. I think people that refuse to wear a mask are also people that probably refuse to protect themselves sexually and or get tested regularly for that as well. So if you run into an anti-masker, probably don't have sex with them.
Interesting. I like that.
Or fuck them. Sorry. There's two distinct things that you can do there.
What's the famous...
Oh, sex is love? Oh, no. What were you going to ask?
No. What's the famous John Waters quote? If you take somebody home, if they don't own a book, don't fuck them.
Yeah.
If they don't own a book, don't fuck them. Yeah, that's pretty much how, that's absolutely true.
I immediately bought a bunch of books. I don't know what they say or who they're by because I can't read, but I have a lot of books.
No, that's actually, I wouldn't call that hot. I think that's just logical conclusion. A to B there.
Yeah. Can you also imagine just piggybacking off of that John Waters quote? if you go to somebody's place, like I can just imagine like a young woman going to like some young man's place and or dumber lady's place, and they're trying to impress them by like, oh yeah, I read books, check this out. And it's like a 1990s edition of the Britannica. Like, I've got the entire collection, check it out. This one's
yeah.
How are they categorized? Like, this one's C through F, and
yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I got anybody in college. I had a smelly apartment.
You didn't have encyclopedias?
No, I had Batman books. All of him just like pumping iron. Just like fucking going at it. Pumping iron shit. Yeah. Like, and it's all been thumbed through. And then I'd bug them about whether they read any of this before. And then lecture them. I was really popular with the ladies. Nice. Let's say this.
So yeah.
Hell yeah. I got a funny story, and hopefully this doesn't, I mean, it, nobody knows who I'm talking about. One time I snuck a lady friend, not snuck, I was just like, had to be quiet about taking my lady friend to my home because I still live with my parents. Okay. And we were both like very drunk, and before I went into my room, I had my bike in like the hallway for some reason because I didn't like leaving it outside. I had this badass 88 Rally, and it was like fucking blue and blah, blah, blah. It got stolen when I moved here. It, like, somebody fucking clipped and took it from my front yard in LA. But I was like, yeah, here's my bike. It's an 88 Rally. And according to my brother, my younger brother, who was still awake and I wasn't aware, he said, oh, wow, that's so hot. I'm like, fuck yeah. So I just always keep a bike in my living room from that point on. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, bikes get you laid. Bikes and books get you laid.
Yeah, they both start with B.
Driving that polluting car. Stop watching that noise pollution.
That's so hot. Good.
I'm going to have to tell you after we sign off here who that was.
Yeah, I probably know them. Yeah, it's probably true. Okay, well, let's wrap this show up. I'm just kidding.
Because okay. I gotta know. Just like John Saxon, it sounds like something I could take a bite out of.
So this was, I think, a lot of fun. I think we're going to try to review more TV stuff, mix it in with the short films, so you have a little more content before our main reviews. So, and we get a broader spectrum of horror in general. So this is gonna be fun, hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully maybe, we'll see. Maybe I'll bring some more hot takes. Or if you want to hear takes. Stories of my personal life throughout the week.
Yeah.
Something interesting is always going on.
The mic's on. Please, by all means.
Not to mention, like, it's like I'm talking to several people on the dating apps with no intention of meeting anyone because I don't feel like getting COVID just to get laid.
Oh, man, that's a spicy take. I like that. We're just going to have John's spicy take corner or something. I don't know. I'll come up with something else.
Yeah, if you want the bag, you better wear the mask on your face and on your head.
Yeah,
I'll work on it.
Yeah, I know. I was like, okay. If you're ugly, yeah. No, I don't know.
You better wear rubber if you want a dubber.
I don't ever want to get rid of masks, by the way. Like, I can just like make funny faces at people. Dude, just like
I just mentioned that to somebody at work. It's like, you know, the one plus thing about a mask is people are unaware of how many faces I make throughout the day, because I realize I make a lot. But also I feel like I've become a mouth breather, because you know, like, the top part clenches a part of the nose sometimes, and I'm just kind of like constantly like going through my mouth.
Yeah. But
again, another plus is I feel like I'm 150% more attractive because I'm mask fishing as opposed to cat fishing.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Let's move on to our main review. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny. Five words. Mark Summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Yes. For the Prowler, Johnny's five-word platsum. Today, I actually have five.
Oh,
and coming in at number five, toxic masculinity at its finest.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's what the whole movie's
about.
I
know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
Number four, My Bloody Valentine, Family Affair. That's an alt title. Because the more I was watching, I was like, man, was there just a run of movies? Like, you know what's scary? If like some serial killer from 30 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
Coming in at number three, All Men Shall Remain Clothed.
Yeah, pretty much.
One death scene where like they're fucking. And the dude gets killed and he's fully clothed for some reason, except for like his tie's undone. And then they go and kill the girl and she's completely naked. I would say, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Coming in Absolutely, at number yeah. two, sneaky, sneaky, sneaky war vet.
Okay.
Accurate. Fuck, they never see that guy, dude.
He's everywhere.
It doesn't even seem like he's trying to hide, but he's real sneaky. And number one, underage dating, okay for cops.
Well, okay, hold on. I'm out. It took me like the majority of this movie, but they're out of college.
Oh. Okay,
they're out of college. They say college. I don't know if that helps. Everyone looks like they're 15 in this movie.
Oh, but you know what? That makes sense because I remember at our college, we definitely had like a prom sort of dance where we couldn't leave. That was definitely a thing. I wonder if they inserted them saying it was a college later after the fact, because it was definitely set up like it was a high school or something.
Because that was their dormitory. All the girls that lived together, that was their dormitory. But
I was trying to figure that one out too, because the house didn't make any fucking sense to me.
It
felt like an apartment.
The geography's terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's like two stories. You see like a full shot of it's two stories, but she clearly runs like four stories down to the second level. Yeah.
It's pretty. And again, it felt like each floor had like eight rooms, and at one point it looked like a hallway with eight rooms, but that didn't make sense when she was running down the stairs.
They maximized all the space. It was a beautifully designed architectural masterpiece, that house.
Then I take it back. Yeah. I think this is a wonderful movie, and it's perfect.
If this movie was about architecture, it would be great. No.
I'm also going to ask. I'm trying to figure out. So okay. This is what, 1981? I'm assuming they probably made the movie around 1979-ish, right?
I believe so.
Something
yeah.
like that. I mean, considering how long it took to make movies back then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it took 6 weeks. It took them 6 weeks. I think I read some trivia.
6 weeks to shoot, IMDb. Or 6 weeks to make?
6 weeks, 6 days. Yeah, so it took them like 6 weeks to do.
Oh, okay, but I mean, like editing and all that.
Oh, I get your point. But yeah, no, yeah, I think a lot of it was. They were saying a lot of it was done because. The shooting schedule was designed around the murders, which they left everything. There's no edits in this movie. Dude, they just like the schedule was designed around the murders.
You know, so, I believe that because I'm not gonna. I mean, this movie didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Again, this is another thing that I didn't find, like, there's a lot of plot holes in this too,
as well.
Tons
as great
of plot holes. Yeah.
I was wondering if this movie was responsible for the start of the slasher flicks and horrible decision making and nonsensical like script writing, you know, like the beginning of like horror doesn't have to make any sense at all.
Shit, I don't know, man. I'd have to dig deep for that answer. just like in general, for me, I'm the slasher genre is like my least favorite. I'm not a fan of it. I think, you know, it's the lowest common denominator in terms of like story. It's about the kills. It's about gratuitousness, whether sex or violence. And the stories aren't interesting. They're dull. It's always somebody, something, now the murderer, right? Like, the murderer doesn't even have to make complete sense. But to be clear,
you're talking about, like, anything under the juggernauts, right? Because, like, definitely in my top whatever list is going to be, like, Friday the 13th, Halloween, of course. Right?
No, of course. But yeah, there's always exceptions, 10, right?
There's always going to be Sleepaway Camp, so.
Yeah, there's ways to do it funly, but unfortunately there's more of these like middle of the road, below middle of the road films than there are like, you know, fun movies like Sleepaway Camp or masterpieces like Friday the 13th or like Halloween. There's less of those.
I don't want you to misquote yourself. You meant to say masterpieces, Sleepaway Camp, and Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Because if you're not going to tell me the ending of Sleepaway Camp didn't blow your fucking mind.
Yeah. No, dude. Yeah. It's pretty nuts. But I will give this movie a little bit of credit. I thought the movie itself had like kind of a strange, kind of eerie, dreamlike atmosphere to it. I thought it was kind of cool that it started in the 40s. It ended pretty predictably, but I thought, like, okay.
Like once you get to present day, like, you immediately knew who the bad guy was, right? They're like, oh, that's the killer.
Yeah, I kind of figured it out, right away.
And then at the end, when a certain something happens, it's like, yeah, obviously. Obviously, that guy's not going to get killed because, yeah.
Yeah, and it was very nonchalant. Yeah, it was very, like, a couple of things, like, they were very nonchalant about who the murderer was. And fast and loose about the main lead, the boyfriend. Yeah. Like, why? And, like, yeah, I mean, I guess you can draw conclusions, but it's never really spelled out why the person is murdering people, which I think is one of the faults of the movie.
But I will, I feel like not even, like, the secondary characters were my favorite part of this film.
Yeah. You know what? I really liked the lead. I thought she was really good. I thought she played it pretty real. Like, she played it grounded and real, and I believed everything. I believed her running. I believed her reacting. You know, unfortunately, she's written paper thin. She has nothing really to do.
She just gets hot flashes of jealousy, I would call it. She's like, I'm jealous. Just kidding. Like, 5 seconds later, you're like, all right.
Yeah.
No, but what about her? I'm like, oh, come on. All right. That's what it felt like every time.
Yeah. everybody else was pretty forgettable in this movie, but I thought as a lead was
disagree.
Pretty good.
I wholeheartedly disagree.
Okay.
Dude, fake out hero at the end was one of my favorite parts because they have that unnecessarily long look at each other scene, which we'll talk about later. And
who is too long?
My number two favorite character in this was the professor, whatever she was, who was overacting her fucking heart out.
No, my favorite scene, this might be one of my favorite scenes in any horror movie I've ever seen, was
the guy that my number one favorite guy in the movie is. Go ahead. I know it's going to be the same answer.
What are you going to say?
The dude that was the phone guy, right? The big guy.
Yeah, the phone guy. Oh my God, he's amazing at this part.
He was probably the best actor in the film, honestly, where he was like, the whole pencil thing, he's like, oh, let me find a pencil. And he's like looking around. He has one in his ear. He's like, oh yeah. And he pulls it out of his. Oh my God. Oh, let me go get him. It's fucking stupid.
Stupid. It was, but he was so good.
Yeah, it was great.
He was excellent as sort of a hick hotel manager or something, right? Like, he was in the front of the, I don't know what they're called.
I made a
concierge.
Note. Yeah, he was a concierge. Yeah. I wrote a note about him, in fact, where I was like, you know what? I think if I was younger, I wouldn't understand and I would think, oh, this guy's the reason these kids are getting killed. Like, what a fucking dickhead. But now I'm like, this guy's the most relatable. I like this guy. He's the not my fucking problem guy. Not my fucking problem. There's a killer loose. How about I lock my door? You fucking deal.
How about that's in another fucking state? I don't know what that'll give a shit. I got a fucking card game here. I need to finish. That guy, he was excellent. He knew exactly what he was playing and he fucking milked it every second of it. He's so good in this movie, man. He blew me away. I don't want to overstate that, but it happened in such an opportune time towards the end of the movie when he shows up and he's just like the deputy sheriff guy was kind of panicking and calling. I need to talk to the sheriff. Get me the sheriff. And he's just like,
as best as that guy could, because he was definitely a soap opera actor and like had no expression whatsoever. And we were talking about Bill Nunnery.
Is that the actor?
Yeah, and he's unfortunately only did a series of movies in 1981, and that's about all of it.
Oh no, dude, he was really interesting as an actor. And he's, to describe him, he's like this kind of really overweight gentleman, baseball hat, big beard, and he's like, you know, really like accent heavy, southernish kind of. I don't even know what you would describe it, because I think this is supposed to take place in New York or some shit, like upstate New York.
I think so. Yeah.
Where it's it's a little like
according to the license plates, I think so.
Did you see
what beer he was drinking?
Oh yeah, Rolling Rock
old
beer.
Old school Rolling Rock can. Yeah.
I
fucking loved it. Yeah, he's like what Robert Kirkpatrick meets Bill Murray ish type of dude.
Yeah, and I like that the scene just lingers and it just plays out. They don't really like do anything else. And it's like, why is this scene in this movie? But it's I could see why. It's so interesting. Perfect. It's really good. Yeah. It doesn't really fit the rest of the tone in this movie, but that was kind of a fun thing on a pretty unfortunately I think that a lot of it is like drawn out. I feel like after like about 40 minutes of this movie.
I said Robert Kirkpatrick, I meant Tyler Labine. Tyler Labine meets Bill Murray. It's got a very comedic but dry thing. This movie felt fucking long, and it wasn't like, long at all, but it felt so long.
No. Yeah.
There was moments where I was like, is this almost over, right? I'm like, oh shit, there's still 45 minutes. I've only seen 20 minutes of this. Like, so much happens all the time, but nothing happens.
No, exactly. That's a good way to describe it.
Like explain to me why he has a pitchfork.
Yeah.
Americana. I don't know. He's got a pitchfork and a retractable knife.
He's supposed to be like in a World War II U.S. Army fatigues. For reasons, right? So why would he have a pitchfork?
Yeah, and why, I mean, I get why he could wear a mask, though. He could wear a gas mask, but I guess that's too similar to My Bloody Valentine, which I don't think had come out yet, or already came out. I don't know. But like,
who knows? All these movies jumbled together at one point.
Yeah, because that mask was dumb. It felt like a shitty scarecrow or something. And I was like, how is this guy even able to see?
Or move around?
I don't know.
Not make noise.
And I swear that they blew the entire budget on the 40 scene and then on the last death, the shotgun death.
I was not really uncomfortable with the first death, when they kill the boyfriend. And then, not the first death, excuse me, when they get to the dormitory and they're killing the girl in the shower and her boyfriend.
Oh, like, yeah.
They just linger with the knife in the head. Like, it looked interesting.
Yeah.
It was really cool. It was really well done. It was horrifying to watch. A lot of blood, a lot of stuff, and, you know, just fucking spewing everywhere. And it was kind of cool, but again, it just, like, lingers and lingers and lingers, and it's just like, what? And then, like, he's, like, pulling a knife and like making his head almost pop and shit. I was like, oh my God, like what, yeah. What are we, what is this?
Well, it's the same with the, I don't know. I was going to say this might be spoiling stuff, but I honestly don't remember any of these characters' names.
No, I don't know anybody's names.
Yeah. The girl that gets killed in the swimming pool.
Oh yeah.
The blade is just kind of like hanging around her neck and it's like obviously not cutting through, but like it just kind of stays there and it's there for like, again, you're on this shot for like 10 seconds.
And they're like, he's probably an AD saying like, release the blood, release the blood, Tom, release the blood. Just release the blood. Blood go now.
Yeah. And then I was pissed because I think they, well, like in a selfish fucking, I'm a male type of way, they killed what I thought was the hottest character almost right off the bat. I was like, fuck, this is stupid. Well, at least I got the professor. She's hilarious. She'll never die. Fuck, she's dead too.
Oh, yeah, she was kind of fun. I like, actually, that's another funny like scene I liked, when she's like making the announcement, there's a prowler in the in college.
That was like extremely slapsticky. It was pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really good. Yeah, like, I thought it was fun.
I'm going to milk my, she's like, how long are you giving me for this scene? They're like, we're only going to give you 35 minutes for this. I'm just kidding. Every scene in this is like fucking 3 minutes long.
Dude, no edits. No edits. Yeah. Like, dude, it's like, there's no cutting around anything. It's pretty like, and then when they do cut, it's like weirdly, I don't know. There's some choices that they, stuff they cut to, like when they cut to, there's a scene early on in the movie where the girls are all getting ready to go to this fucking graduation thing. And they intercut that with the unknown killer soldier guy getting ready.
Oh yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? It's kind of like, I don't know. It seemed a little unnecessary.
No, you know what? Like, it's perfect because now we can put like Flashdance over that, or
yeah, or like Britney Spears Toxic or something. Or, I don't know, something fun.
I like how we had a real credits moment too, in like midway through the movie when that professor or whatever, I'm not even sure what she was, but she was like, oh, yeah, we have to stay inside the gymnasium or wherever the hell they were because there's a prowler outside. Yeah. I'm like, oh, roll credits. There you go.
Is it the title of the movie?
Yeah, roll credits.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that scene was in the trailer.
Yeah,
there's a prowler in the college.
But I could also imagine a world where there was a missed opportunity. They just didn't do that.
That's true. This movie has like funny bits throughout. Yeah. The whole movie.
Yeah, I'm not in any hurry to watch it again. but
I'll go back and say like the there's like a dreamlike quality to it. So when it starts with that like news footage, and then it starts with like the letters that were sent in the 40s, like, what is this movie? It's called The Prowler. Like, this thought this was like going to be like a dumb slasher movie. Yeah. And it gets there.
Eventually,
definitely gets there.
It takes
there.
A while.
Yeah, but I actually thought a lot of the designs and atmosphere of the pieces and like even the town, everything had like a vibe to it, which I thought was like, this is not like a typical slasher movie, even though it completely goes in completely slasher, typical slasher movie, dumb slasher movie.
Yeah, but what did you think eventually of the music?
I love the rock music. I didn't get to chance to look up the band. Who's the band?
I don't know. I was going to say the world's worst singer is becoming my new favorite band right now.
I liked it. I thought it was like, yeah, this is good.
It was so funny.
I was watching it. I had headphones on. I was like listening to the lyrics and they kind of like, they're about like, no way out. No way. It's like, yeah, it kind of matched up with the movie and shit. I was like, man, this is good.
A band called Nowhere Fast, I think.
Nowhere Fast. All right.
It has to be a fake.
Nowhere Fast, yeah. You think so?
Maybe not. No, I don't know.
Nowhere Fast. What? Let's see. They're on IMDb. I don't know if that means anything. Music department.
That they've made it.
Well, I'm definitely looking them up.
Hey Siri, add Nowhere Fast albums to library.
20 albums.
Perfect. Disc-
All right.
Oh man. It's just so funny. I mean, I bet at the time, or like maybe like in the 90s, people were like, oh man, they always had such crappy bands in the movies or the television shows.
Yeah, they did.
And then now we're looking at the early 2000s where like every fucking movie had like some sort of nu metal band or like some sort of pop punk band.
It has, like, or what is it? Yeah.
You know.
Say Ferris was in that one movie, teen movie.
Yeah.
I forget which one. Yeah. They were pretty good.
But then like a perfect example would be the Queen of the Damned soundtrack, right? Where it was like fucking Korn.
Oh, yeah.
And Deftones. And I think Marilyn Manson and System of a Down. Oh, no. Scream.
Yeah.
Wait, which one was it? The Scream 2 soundtrack was one of my first nu metal albums. Like, I would say, like, first, like, 10 nu metal albums, right? Because I fucking went all in on music in general in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Scream 2 soundtrack, which had, like, Creed and the song called What If, which was actually pretty good, and System of a Down, and, yeah, Deftones and Slipknot and, like,
yeah,
that was that era. Now people think, wow, this music fucking sucks in this movie.
Yeah, it's true.
So a lot of it we just got to give it like 10 more years and people are going to go back and watch those and be like, whoa, they fucking had the balls to put some good music in these movies.
Well, they don't really
like
make
you're doing right now with the
those prowlers. Teenage comedies anymore. Oh, yeah, it's true. I get your point. Yeah.
No.
But they don't really make teenage movies anymore, right? Like,
not really. It.
On that level,
it's kind of hard to do coming of age movies when the internet exists, I think.
Yeah. That one guy, what's his name? Fucking. That one series. Eh, I can't think
Wes
of it.
Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson movies are awesome. No, I'm just kidding.
Wes Anderson should do a horror movie, and it would probably be whimsical and beautiful and just a delight.
I think it'd probably be like Ed Wood.
Yeah.
He would make Ed Wood.
I want Wes Anderson to do the next Halloween movie and just reboot the whole thing. And it's just like, understood and kind of dopey. He still kills people, but everybody understands.
Yeah.
Or he should reboot The Prowler.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to pitch The Prowler to Wes Anderson.
I mean... I don't know. Maybe they could do the Prowler remake. I don't know.
It's only a matter of time. They did My Bloody Valentine. I know that was a 2000s movie, but...
That was in 3D.
That's right? True. My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Yeah. It's got the pitchfork coming at you.
Which I was like, all right, well, this can't be worse than the original, right? Oh. It's the 2000s. I forgot.
No, yeah. Oh shit. I don't know. You want to go to spoilers? Probably not, right? There's really nothing to talk about.
Wait! No. Stop. Stop. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
It was the sheriff.
Surprise.
The sheriff.
Yes, the fucking sheriff.
The sheriff did it.
The sheriff did it, yeah. And it.
Who left out of town.
And if it wasn't like.
Yeah.
Already obvious. Then at the end, he does not kill the deputy who's the temporary sheriff, which is like the most telltale sign. I just don't understand. Like, who was that old guy that was supposed to be living at that place that was covered in, like, they covered everything? Oh, no, that guy was dead. There's something about a dead guy that used to live in. But there's like some old guy that was one of the red herrings for some reason.
Yeah, he was the father. He was the major who they set up as, I don't know, like he's in a wheelchair and then he's like always looking out the window.
Yeah.
Looking for, I guess, the murderer, right? Because they killed his daughter in the first scene.
Oh.
In the 40s.
Oh, I see.
At the dance. So he was... So he shows up at the house. They don't really follow through with it because he shows up at the house in a wheelchair that he clearly couldn't have rolled through the grass and dirt that he was placed in. They placed the wheelchair in. I don't know if you noticed that. That bugs me.
But he could, because then there's that scene where he grabs onto like our heroine's dress as she's trying to run away.
Yeah.
And she cannot, you know, get away from him because he's too strong. And then when handsome deputy with like vampire hair like goes to to investigate, he's like, I didn't find anything except for boot prints and wheelchair prints. Like, oh, okay.
Well, I'm being generous when I call this a wheelchair. This is one of those old fashioned rickety made out of wood wheelchairs that he was placed in. He didn't talk. Apparently he didn't talk. He's catatonic or I don't know. He was able to wheel himself across the street and then eventually like place himself and then hold on to this girl. And they never follow up whether or not the killer killed them or not.
Yeah.
I'm assuming so, but then they didn't really like follow through with it.
But
I have no idea what happened.
So are we saying the sheriff was the killer or in the original scene too?
Yes.
Not decided. Unexplained.
Because he... yeah.
It's like that. Sure. And I still have no idea who that, the rando guy where it's like, oh, Bill something was outside staring at me through the window. And you're like, oh, he must be the bad guy. Like, obviously not. Like, you never think he is. But then he comes in and saves the day randomly on the second and or fourth floor of this house. And
it's eighth floor, top floor.
Shoots our bad guy with a shotgun. And then there's what feels like a 30-second back and forth cut between him kind of smiling and looking weird with his double barrel shotgun and cutting back to her and her starting to smile a little bit. And then it cuts back to him and he starts to smile a little more. You're like, oh, okay, now it's over. But then it cuts back to her and it's like her like really settling into the idea. Oh, she's safe now. And she's happy that this guy that she thought was a bad guy is not a bad guy. And then it cuts back to him and he's like, oh, I'm relieved. And then the prowler comes back and shoots him in the stomach.
It's very romantic, that scene. It was hot.
I was like, I was waiting for an actual romantic scene in this, and we finally got it.
We got it, yeah. That was
normalize,
love. Real love.
Normalize the dad bods. Normalize the dad bods and male pattern just... baldness.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're like creepy looking, it's just, you know, there's love out there
there's,
for you.
There's someone...
Possibly
out there for everyone is something some an older guy it's recently true. Told me. I was like, thank God. I'm here and I'm waiting. So there you go.
Yeah. No, yeah. It was weird choices. I don't know. They were just trying to milk that scene. I think
they were just trying to hit an hour and 20 minute mark, and that's why everything felt like it was dragging. Fucked.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, it was a little it dragged maybe the last like 40 or so minutes. It was a little tough to sit through. All right, do you have any last thoughts?
For such a cool name for a movie, it was an okay film.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in life,
you know,
you're just misunderstood. And all you got to do is be there for the person that you love and use a shotgun on the bad guy that's trying to kill her. And you'll find love. But maybe you'll get shot in the stomach too, because that's just how life is. And that's how love is. And this is my inspirational quote by John Flotus for you skeleton crew out there.
Well said. Very well said.
Yeah, with that, well said, right? Spooky bones.
Well said. Spooky bones. I think there's some great kills if you're into that. I'm not the biggest fan. I think it has a great atmosphere. It's interesting. I think visually, visually is kind of a strong word. I think it has like a dreamlike atmosphere to it. I think there's some nice kills. Unfortunately, I think it's just like every other slasher movie I've ever seen that I don't like.
Okay. So, would you agree in saying that there's a distinct picture quality difference from the opening segment to the rest of the film?
No.
Oh, okay.
I found it kind of similar. Okay.
I thought, I mean, not in my head, there was like a distinct difference, not a dramatic one. I'm saying like, I felt like there was a difference in quality because
okay,
the opening segment, I was like, oh, I'm watching a commercial for something. And I kept trying to find like the skip button. I was like, oh, it's the fucking movie already. And then when it got to the present, it became very 80s low budget for me. I was like, okay, which I don't mind. That's like my favorite.
Oh, no, yeah.
All my favorite horror movies are from the 80s. Like Evil Dead 2, yeah. 81, bam. Yeah. Demons, 1983, 4? Demons?
Sure. I don't know. Yeah. Dates and names. I'm
purposely not rewatching Demons for a long time, so I can suggest it, and then we can watch it and talk about it. It's one of my favorite fucking movies of all time.
Yeah. Gonna watch that for Valentine's Day. I don't know.
Hey, that's actually a good one because they're on a
All right. Okay, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give the Prowler 4.8 sexy spooky bones.
I'm not that far off. I was at like a 7 for like the first 10 minutes of this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's a 5. Yeah. I think it's a 5 sexy spooky bones movie.
I just couldn't give it a middle. Yeah. I could not give it a middle because it like fell from middle for me.
Yeah, real quick, the ending I thought was like so unnecessary. The secondary.
Oh, how stupid.
Dreamlike.
Right?
Like, so dumb.
Zombie thing. It's like.
Yeah.
When did Friday the 13th come out? It was after this, right?
Way after this, yeah. I think Friday the 13th hit like what? After 84, right? At least 84, 86. It's a rough estimate because I think 2 was like 88, 89.
Damn. You wanna hear something cray? Cray, cray?
What? 1980. What? Really?
1980, and it still has a Metascore of 22. Ridiculous.
Wow. Wow.
Because I was going to say, did they rip this from Friday the 13th? Because they totally could have shot this after the fact, too. Right?
They could have. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know who ripped who, but Friday the 13th definitely did it better.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know what? I always do this, dude. I always confuse, and I'm a bad horror fan, I always confuse Friday the 13th with Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't know why I always do that.
Yeah.
I always confuse those titles, dude.
I mean, because they were like...
a terrible, terrible horror fan.
Like, growing up for us, I think you couldn't have one without the other. For some reason.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no, yeah. It's just... fuck. Nah, dude. Nightmare on Elm Street came out way later. Friday the 13th is like one of the original like slasher movies. Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah, 1980.
And do you agree growing up? Wow, we got a long episode. Sorry, guys. Do you agree that it felt like Halloween was like second to Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street growing up for some reason? Like nobody cared about Halloween?
Yeah. Yeah, I always thought it was the third tier of
horror movies. It's like obviously the superior one, but like...
Yeah. Yeah, the first one's a masterpiece. Yeah. Yeah, the first Halloween.
It's just weird growing up thinking that that's what we were thinking. It was like, oh, Friday the 13th is obviously the better one, and Halloween ripped it. Like, nope.
I I think because Nightmare on the Elm Street was still, I think they were still coming out when I was young. So that series always remains in the front of my mind. Yeah. So that's those movies were coming out. So when Jason like came back, made a resurgence, I guess Jason's movies were still coming out, but that was like kind of lowbrow, lowbrow, low budget.
Jason Goes to Hell and
Yeah. So even that was still kind of around.
And then Freddy versus Jason came out in the early 2000s.
Remember, like, so we did the Halloween series. There was large gaps. There was like years and years that they wouldn't touch the Halloween series.
And then when they would, it was complete trash. Like, what was like, the one that killed the franchise that we talked about? Holy shit, that movie sucks.
There's a couple of those. there's a couple of those movies in there. He's like, this franchise is dead. Oh, there's another one. Okay, yeah, let's watch it. I will say that you can't kill Halloween, just like you can't kill Michael Myers, dude. Nope. That thing is forever. All right, guys and gals and non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
keep prowling. And stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to...